This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
And it is wonderful to have the one and only Matt O'Connor back with us. Matt, thank you for your time once again.
Good evening, Peter. Good to see you. One of our Saturday night rendezvous. I say it's people will be talking by now. The number of Saturday nights we spend together, mate.
It is, but we haven't done it for a while. So, Matt, I was missing you. So it's good that we've got back together.
Well, I've had an interesting social life, and there's been kid stuff going on, and so yes, there's been some family stuff to deal with, and things like that. So yes, it's been. It's the Christmas lights have just been switched on tonight where I am, and it's all very festive. It's chillier, but it's lovely, and I should be heading out for some refreshments as soon as I've finished discussing the world of woke with you.
So. Absolutely, I will. We'll try and do it and get finished by midnight because always a lot to talk about. And I've gone festive. There's my little Christmas tree. There you go. So, Matt, you're the first one on live stream with a Christmassy mood. So,
fantastic.
As always,
fantastic. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Father Christmas, as you know. So.
I do. You've done your costumes many a times on
many a time. I have been known to dress up, obviously most infamously as a priest, as seen on Irish TV, but also as I think our first demonstration was 20 years ago. I think it's this month, the 17th of December, when we did 200 Father Christmases stormed the lobby of the then Lord Chancellor's Department in Whitehall. That was a magnificent. It was our first ever demonstration, and I'm a big fan of Bad Santas protesting Father Christmases. There you go.
And now we have an older and possibly wiser Matt. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm still carrying the baggage, yeah, the ballast, but that's simply to make it more difficult for my friendly law enforcement officers to lift me up off the ground. It's there for that. It's there for that purpose. So,
excellent. And for viewers, you can obviously find Matt over. He heads up Fathers for Justice. So there's the fathers-for-justice.org down there. Also in all the descriptions, and at Fathers for Justice on Twitter. So if you don't follow Matt on that, do. And if you haven't looked on the website, do, because it is a fantastic resource with many. Many good things on it, so yes.
I just realised that's the wrong Twitter. Ours is F4J Official. That's an American copycat group. We're a bit like the Rolling Stones. We've got the counterfeit Rolling Stones. We had at one point, there was a new Fathers for Justice. There was a real Fathers for Justice, but like the real IRA. There was I Can't Believe It's Called Fathers for Justice. So it's just one of those things. We do something that's really popular and high profile, yeah, you get lots of people copying. So I'm afraid, yeah, we have, you know, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. So,
well, there you go. We've never had anyone compare themselves to the real IRA. So that's interesting. Let me fix that. How did I get that wrong? The weird thing is, it should be set to come up as always. So that's me messing around with things. You should always leave things alone.
Well, that's right on Facebook. Actually, it's right as a Facebook. Yeah, on Twitter, though, it's F4J Official. That's it. Yeah, perfect.
Well, let's move on to the news without further ado. Lots of things to cover. Let's see if we can whiz through some of these. We'll start on COVID stuff and move on. This is, just in case anyone of you were hoping to get to Rod Stewart's Christmas party, and are not triple jabbed, I'm sorry, but you'll not be going. So Rod Stewart only allowing triple vaccinated guests into Christmas party as he blasts killer anti-vaxxers. This is the Metro, and there's Rod. So those who haven't yet had their triple, may have a single or a double, but not a triple, they are the killers and not going along. And Matt, it's a level of virtue signaling when you link the word killer into those who maybe haven't done everything they're told to do.
Yeah, actually, when you sent this link over to me earlier, I was a bit surprised because for some reason I thought he was dead. So I didn't realize he was still going. And I don't know what triple vaccinated guests in wheelchairs or, people are going to be in their deathbeds anyway. So it's Rod Stewart. I mean, frankly, who cares? I say that he's alive is a surprise. But, you know, the nonsense continues, you know, people trying to tell everybody what they need to do, prescribing things where nobody really has much of a clue what's going on with regard to the pandemic, the virus, you know, which mutation it is. I mean, I say if you want to go and see some mutations, go and check out the Houses of Parliament. I've dated a few mutations as well in my time. That's another story. That's another program. But look, it's down to individual choice. People can say, well, if he's holding a party and people want to go to it and they've insisted on triple vaccination, look, fine. It's down to people to make individual choice, to have the freedom of choice, to make a decision about what they do or do not want to do. And that's the most important thing. And as I say, how many jabs are you going to need? And obviously the answer is going to be a lot of jabs, because it's clear that it's quite possible that the new mutation, the Omicron, as it's called, sounds like something out of Transformers. But the Omicron may evade some aspects of the current vaccine program. And it seems also that obviously that you can still pass on the virus. So I think nobody really knows what's happening with the virus. Nobody really understands the pandemic. This is going to rock and roll on for a good decade, in my view. This is not going to be over quickly at all. And I don't think we're going to learn or understand anything from what's happening for a number of years.
Yep.
So my personal view on it, my brother, as you probably know, is a dedicated anti-vaxxer. He's got really strong views on it, which I respect. I'm slightly more in the middle. But my view is very much is about personal choice. But that personal choice seems to be, if you look what's happening in Austria, see what's happening in Germany, personal choice is being restricted more and more and more. And again, it's the tyranny and the way that these laws are introduced without any scrutiny, without any proper debate. That's the concerning thing. I mean, that really, to me, as a libertarian, as a campaigner, those are the issues that really concern me, is that we can just introduce legislation like this unopposed, untested. And that scrutiny should be in our parliament, and it isn't. And it should be in the courts, and it isn't. That's the road to tyranny. It's important we protect our basic libertarian rights as people to have the right to choose what we do, and within reason, all the other freedoms that need to be protected. I don't think I was on, Rod Stewart's Christmas card list, let alone be invited to his party. So damn, but the fact he's still alive is great news. I think that's wonderful news that you've told me today. He's still alive, and I shall celebrate that tonight. I'll raise a glass to him.
I've made your day telling you he's alive, if nothing else, Matt. We normally look at different countries. This is Justin Trudeau. And again, when you have so many questions about how good a vaccine is, when you have so many questions about all different variants, I'm sure Boris will give us a Christmas variant, so that ruins Christmas. But here's Justin Trudeau telling kids what they're looking forward to at Christmas. And I don't think any kids are looking forward to this, but here's Justin Trudeau.
You're going to be able to get your vaccine as soon as you turn 5. And I know you're excited and I know you're eager. In some places across the country, you can even start making your appointment now for shortly after your birthday.
So, yeah.
That's bizarre, isn't it? He looks really weird as well. He's a strange, you know, quite an sort of Orwellian thing. Yep. You can get your telling 5-year-olds to be excited that you're not going to get, you know, something from Santa, but he's going to get a jab instead. And, yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible. And again, you know, we don't, you know, there are, yeah, these jabs, okay, regardless of your view, I'm not a medical expert, so I don't know, but the jabs are, I think if you're an adult and you can make an informed decision either way, based on what the medical establishment are telling us and what, but it's down to individual choice. But a 5-year-old doesn't really have an individual choice in it. They can't make an informed decision. So they rely on their parents. And as we discussed before, parents may have different views. The mum may want the child jabbed, the dad may not, or vice versa. And then you start getting to all sorts of treacherous legal territory. So I think the idea that 5-year-olds should get the jab is disturbing, potentially. And but the way he just gleefully delivered that was quite surreal and chilling, you know. At least he wasn't black-faced up this time, though, to be fair.
He did. So, he's only done that 3 or 4 times, so, yeah, he didn't
do it again. I love these liberals. I love these woke liberals who then turn out to be filth or doing all sorts of inappropriate things. You just can't, you know, it's just the hypocrisy. You can smell it even online, you know.
Absolutely.
The stench.
I see WK White Knight. I say I'm not even going to pull that in, but we all, I mean, my views on this will probably be more to Matt's brother. But again, it is, at the end of the day, it is about choice, and choice is something that's been removed very, very quickly. Here's another story, which is about the new variant. And here we have majority of England's Omicron cases are double vaccinated. Health chiefs reveal 55% of those with COVID super strain. I don't know what to super strain. Again, it's those fear words dropped in, but had both jabs amid fears it can dodge shots as UK daily cases creep up. And a super strain dodging shots, it all sounds extremely frightening. And then it goes here to talk about the funny thing on this line is it says it comes as the R rate spirals from less than 1 to 3.5 in England. No, in South Africa's Omicron epicenter in the Gauteng province. You know, I've been worried about that, wondering what it is in the Gauteng province. But I get it, giving you a fear story, which doesn't really affect. And it's a WHO official suggested on Thursday the COVID cases were milder in those who caught it. So with so much confusion, and we talked obviously with Trudeau telling kids they're going to get it, it seems the adults can't work out what is right or wrong, and yet they're asking kids. But it's interesting, this new strain that the majority were double jabbed, and then you get all different thoughts from the different pharmaceutical companies on how many jabs you might need and which are effective and which are not.
Yeah, it's as I say, it's interesting times because, you know, if you've had your 3 jabs, as a lot of people have, and then they maybe have to develop a new vaccine to deal with Omicron, and you say, where does it stop and where does it start? Well, yeah, where's the end? What's the end game? And the fact is, nobody knows. But the whole issue of Christmas being cancelled is looming large. I've got it's my youngest son. It's his 16th birthday coming up, and we're doing a thing at Southampton Football Club, and I'm a bit nervous about it because I'm thinking, well, where will we be in 2 weeks?
Yep.
You know, we now got masks on. You know, you're wearing shops now. You see my glasses, Peter, which are double glazed. Are not small. You put a mask on, I tell you, I can't see anything for like 15 minutes. It's just literally, you know, condensation. So,
did you know? on that. So today shopping, and I personally don't wear a mask because I'm medically exempt. But you see, so I saw someone pushing a trolley with a mask and large glasses. The glasses were completely steamed up. And I thought she was actually probably a threat pushing her trolley. She could injure someone. Yeah. That's probably a bigger threat than anything else. But she was plowing ahead completely blind.
I'm not a fan of masks personally. They're just my view on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there were very dubious medical benefit. But what was great a couple of weekends ago, when I think I was going to try and speak to you, but I was in London on a Saturday and went to Mayfair and Fortnum's and Selfridges and Boxer Street. It was brilliant. There were people out. It was mob. The Christmas spirit was alive. It was absolutely packed. I just wonder, and be to have a degree of normality and to see things going back without having to wear a bloody mask again. Mm. You know, for years, the police told me, take off the mask, right? Yep. Like our Batman and you can't wear a mask. No mask. It's against the law to mask. Now it's like, put your fucking mask on. You can't go anywhere with a mask on. You can't go into a shop around here where I am, because it's like Tory porn country. And, you know, there's always like, they're all like, oh, it's all old ladies and we're all going to die. You're going to die anyway. But, you know, you think if you go with that, see, there's kind of like a sort of, you just feel this weary sense of obligation, which is fine. But I mean, I've got to go to London on Monday. And it's frustrating because you can't wander around and do the things you want to do without putting this damn mask on. I've got a great one. One of my guy, Taylor, that I use, called Sir Tom Baker, he's got a great one. His mask just says, fuck you. goes around there. So, I've got into trouble wearing that before. So I do wear it, but it can get me into bother, like I normally do anyway. So, I think the mask thing is definitely detracts from your ability to go about just doing shopping and doing normal things. And I think it's a very increasingly dubious value, given if the vaccinations aren't supposed to work, and a high level of vaccinations, and the third jabs, you know, people are having, is it really necessary? But I fear where we'll be in 2 weeks. I mean, depending what they say about Omicron, is it going to be more infectious? Will it lead to more hospitalizations, which seems to be the key measure that everybody worries about? You know, are we going to get into some form of lockdown again? And that, to me, seems to be a perfect possibility, potentially, because that's how the state will respond.
Well, the interesting thing is all the first lot of people who got it were all double jabbed. The person who got it in London first was triple jabbed, but also the doctor who discovered it in Pretoria in South Africa,
yeah,
there was mild symptoms. And my understanding is not one single person has been hospitalized. So instead of panicking, correct, the government, yeah, should be celebrating a wonderful variant that's actually safe. But yet they're panicking and shutting down. And in the front of one of the papers today, the headline was that don't wait for the data, shut down now.
Yeah. Why would you do crazy
without the information?
Well, it's just crazy. Our economy, which took such an absolute hammering, and the debt that we've now built up since 2008, since the crash, yep, in 2008, the debt and the fact we are facing, I think, some very, very economically challenging times coming up. Avery was saying our inflation is not going to go up. It's not going to go up. It'll stay. It will just bounce along the bottom. No way. Mm. No way. Inflation is going to go like that. It's going to go right up. And I think interest rates will then go up. I mean, you know, people start defaulting on their mortgages. You know, there's a reckoning coming, I think, economically. And what we can't keep doing is shutting down the damn economy. That all of the people in hospitality, which is a trade very close to my heart, not just because I love hospitality, which you can see I do, but also because I used to work in it. I used to design bars, I used to design restaurants. And so it's an area, we do need, you know, to have an open and free society, and we need people to be able to trade more now than ever, because if we keep shutting down and we keep locking down, we're going to have we're just storing up these huge, huge problems, massive tax increases. Yeah, things that are coming down the line, you know, which are going to be really, really tough for people. And in a country where we don't even have an opposition party, anybody challenging the, I say conservative, but not bloody conservatives, are they? They're woke liberals. But nobody's challenging Boris or, as I call her, Carrie Antoinette, good old Carrie, who definitely wears the trousers and I think has got Boris's baubles hanging from the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
At Chequers. So I just think there's a whole host of problems here. We do not see what's coming down the line. You can't forecast it. They didn't forecast the crash in 2008. They're not going to see the next crash, or whether there's going to be a war in Ukraine or a war with China, whatever's going to happen. But there's all these storm clouds gathering on the horizon, which look pretty, to me, pretty bloody unpleasant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. I see some comments on the side about Matt wearing a mask. We just our viewers, we have all different people on, and different people learn to navigate what is happening. We are very forceful, and some of our videos are not on YouTube or on the other ones. But it's always good to have a discussion as well. So the danger is you get one sided on something and always hear from one side. So.
It comes down to personal choice and where you are and what you're doing. So I made it very clear, I don't like wearing them. But at the same time, you know, you've got to try and strike a balance. Even Matt O'Connor sometimes has to try and strike a balance with certain things. But as I say, I understand, and I think I think people who've got, like my brother wears a mask actually, and he's very. But it's very difficult. If you're on public transport now, you know, they're getting quite shitty about it, I think. It has changed in the last week. It's definitely changed.
Yeah, no, I'll touch your brother, because for me, one of the categories is if it causes severe distress to put on, wear, or remove a mask, you don't have to. And my line would be, well, as a human being, breathing oxygen is quite fundamental, and restricting that supply would cause me great distress. So, but you self-identify, just like you self-identify on everything nowadays.
Yeah.
You self-identify on that as well. So
exactly.
I think I've been stopped twice in 15, I think for the first month or so, I did wear a mask. I think I've been stopped maybe twice in 15 months. The only time I wear a mask is on a flight. I did wear one when I went for a medical checkup this week, because they said, no, we want you to. And I said, well, if they want me to, and to keep them calm and not too nervous, then I did that out of respect for the other person. But normally, I won't. So
I think it's an extremely dubious value. And I just don't think it's if everybody's supposed to be vaccinated and protected, I don't see what the benefit to it is. But it's also like having a jab. A lot of people obviously don't want to have a jab or anti-jab. But then my brother couldn't come with us to Ireland. I had to go to Ireland this summer for my dad's anniversary, 30th anniversary, where it was of his death. And he couldn't go because he couldn't get there. He had to quarantine when he went there because he hadn't had the jab.
Yep.
So those are issues. Again, these are all personal choices we have to make. But it seems to me that if we don't come out of this, you know, somehow in the next few months fairly quickly, yeah, they're going to make things tougher and tougher and tougher on people, particularly when it comes to having a jab. And you've seen that trend in Austria. You've seen that trend in Germany. That's what's really frightening, you know. And there's a sort of almost inevitability about it getting tougher and tougher here. And the other thing that surprises me, Peter, really, really surprises me, is the lack of civil disobedience. I know there's protesters and people out there, but I've got to say, it's pretty tame stuff. I mean, it's not really, you know, as somebody who used to do high-profile protests, none of it kind of really, you know, particularly scratches the surface. There's no ambition or, in my view, you know, I respect people who have been doing stuff, and it's difficult to get the coverage out there, but I think people need to be more civil disobedience, more ambition, in terms of the protest, because I think it's important we do have people protesting about these issues. and having those issues properly debated in the media, because the media doesn't want to debate it, will only debate it as a result of protest. What do you see that with? You see that with Insulate Britain, you know, they've just gone for it. I mean, just fucking gone for it. And like, we're going to shut down roads, do this, do that, stuff that we actually looked at doing back in 2004. But you know, they've really gone for it, and you know, they really seized the media agenda by doing that. And I think we need a more meaningful debate about the issues around masks, around vaccines, around civil liberties. And our freedom of choice.
What are your just 1 minute, Matt, before we go on? On Monday, we've got Lutz Bachmann, who's runs one of the biggest street movements across Europe, Pegida, and he's German. He's coming on to talk about obviously what's happening in Germany, in Austria. By the middle of the year, they're now talking about imprisoning 3 million people if they don't get a jab after finding them. Germany the same, which will be 20 million in Germany. I wonder what your thoughts are and you think of that. How many people can you lock up before that actually overwhelms a state?
I don't think you can lock up that sort of numbers of people. You just can't. You probably find them would be the obvious thing to start with, some kind of fine, some kind of community service. But the numbers of people, you know, if you want to have a free democratic society, yeah, you're going to need to persuade people by debate, not by legislation or law. Yeah. Or you're saying, you know, we're going to start acting in a dictatorial, fascistic kind of way by saying you must do this. Now, last time, if I remember rightly, in that neck of the woods, when we started going down that particular path, you know, they're quite keen on that. Very strict level of enforcement. I got busted jaywalking in Germany. I didn't even know what jaywalking was. I just saw these stupid people sitting there at a red light and there was no cars coming, so I just walked over the road. You know, there's no traffic coming, free thinking. And German police officer popped out. And but, you know, it's, you know, the German and Austrian cultures are very, very different. There's some strange habits that I've seen. God bless them. But I think, you know, I think it'd be far more difficult to do that here. I hope that doesn't ever happen here. I mean, but I'd say I'm surprised. I think because they had the furlough scheme, I'm surprised there wasn't more economic pain. And I think they were worried about, because you would expect rioting. You would expect rioting. You'd expect far, far greater civil disobedience than what happened. And I think keeping people paid to stay at home, sort of, you know, and watch a bit of football, opening the masses, bread and circuses, has kept everybody fairly tame. But as I say, when the economic pain starts kicking in, and you get economic pain and this virus is still going on, that's a fairly toxic combination. The things could easily blow up, you know, next year, next summer, whenever. So,
no, exactly. I can see Europe actually going past the summer without having full scale riots, but we'll. I don't want to predict anything, but let's last one on this topic, just to touch on this interesting story in Israel. And it's been interesting watching Israel, obviously one of the most vaxxed countries and obviously one of the highest rates of COVID at different times with different strains of it. But here we have rights group petition Israel's top court over Omicron phone tracking. We scroll down, we find that this was on the 29th, so 5 days ago, 6 days ago. Rights groups petitioned Israel's top court on Monday this week, to repeal new measures that authorize the country's domestic intelligence service to use counterterrorism phone tracking technology to contain the spread of the new virus variant. So this is in the courts at the moment. But it's not again, this is where legislation is brought in for one purpose and is used for something completely different. And to think that you'll use counterterrorism legislation to track a virus, that has lots of implications on all different freedoms.
Yeah, but they do it anyway. They use counterterrorism on me. So I had a few years ago, the counterterrorism command came down to visit me. You know, in Hampshire. You know, it's just like, you serious? You know, like overweight guys in Lycra. So yeah, they will use the state. Cannot help itself when it comes to, you know, wanting to police the public. Yeah. And the advent of modern technology allows them to do it, obviously, most obviously via your phone, all our tech stuff, which is easily monitored. And with regard now to the NHS apps that have your jabs, you know, how many jabs you've had or not had, as the case may be, the databases they build on us. So I don't think, I think Israel, yeah, they're obviously, you know, very well known for using high levels of surveillance. They've got the technology where they can facilitate that, but don't think it's not happening here, because I can promise you it definitely will be. They will want to know everything about you. And let's say we're moving towards that. We're moving towards that kind of state where we're going to be monitored to a very high level and degree, and they'll start having all the bits and pieces about our life, our DNA, our health. And they have that complete. I mean, they do it with children. With children, there's a high level now of surveillance and interference that schools play in children's lives with their parents, or involving children's services and things like this. So allegedly to protect children from abuse, but as we saw with tragic poor Arthur, the child yesterday, that absolutely horrific story. Social services and the state failed children again and again and again. So just because the state is involved doesn't mean that the outcomes for children or any of us are going to be good. I mean, frankly, you know, some are bigger. I want big people in a small state. You know, we don't want it around the other way. But that's, unfortunately, the state will always want to accrue power. It's a monster. It's a power hungry monster. And it wants to control us, the people, as much as possible. So, and it should always be resisted. As I always say, fight government all the time. Fight government, resist, fight back, push back. And if you've got some balls, you know, scale some buildings, you know, take it to them. Don't sit at home. There's a problem with all bloody armchair generals, and they would get us up and does anything. That's half the problem is, as Howard Zinn said, the problem isn't civil disobedience. The problem is civil obedience. That is the problem.
Love it. Yeah. Let's well, I want to mention the story about Arthur, but first of all, could I just bring up this, because this is one of your campaigns, your tweet. Father for Justice founder Matt O'Connor talks about his new campaign, Stand Up for Boys and the Boys Crisis in Our Schools, tonight. So tell us what this is, Matt, Standing Up for Boys.
Well, it's been an issue. It's been close to my heart for a long time, but what has incensed me and really just really upset me, actually, is the treatment of my 15-year-old son, Archie, by his school. He's at a school in Landover called Rookwood School. And the boys and girls were segregated, like a form of like gender apartheid. And they were separated, and the girls were given one assembly, which was quite short, and the boys were given another assembly, which is quite lengthy. Now, I'd love to tell you exactly what was said in the assemblies, but the school have repeatedly refused to disclose to me the content of those assemblies.
The what school can... don't tell you the parent?
Nope. Wow. Refused time and time and time again to tell me what my son was taught in that assembly. Now, you can imagine, Peter, right? Knowing who I am, I spent 20 years of my life campaigning for parental equality, for the school to go off-grid and to start teaching kids stuff that I had not consented to, that I had no knowledge of, and they refused to disclose. And what my son, Archie, came back, because he's 6'3", right? He's taller than me. And he's like, oh, Dad, what's the weather like down there, you know? And he came back, he said, Dad, I had this really strange assembly. And they mentioned Sarah Everard, the murder of Sarah Everard by a killer cop, Wayne Cousins. And they said to the boys, if you see a woman coming up the road, you're to cross the road. Cross the road if you see a woman coming the other way. Now, I just like, really? So you're conflating the murder of a woman in South London and a killer cop with schoolboys. How are you making that leap? Why are you demonizing and stigmatizing half your school, half the pupils? And then he went on in correspondence with me, Peter, with the headmaster there, Anthony Kirk Burgess, says the boys were perpetrators. Perpetrators. This is criminal language. Criminal language being used to describe half their school. And they tried to make some claim that, you know, this is a one-way street, but it's not. The Department for Education recognises sexual harassment. For example, if we're talking about sexual harassment, can occur between pupils of any gender and any age. And in fact, if you look at the stats, you know, 92% of girls and 74% of boys reported they often receive sexist name calling. But in terms of victims of crime, boys are more likely to be victims of violent crime, 3.6% compared to 1.4% between the ages of 10 to 15. When it comes to educational performance, boys are outperformed by girls. Because the head teacher said, you know, girls are disadvantaged because of their sex, not boys, as claimed by Mr. O'Connor. Bad education. He needs to go back to class. He's wrong. So boys are significantly outperformed by girls. They're more likely to be expelled, twice as likely to commit suicide when they get to university, obviously less likely to get to university. And nobody, the shocking thing I've realised, and it's been in the back of my head, but I hadn't joined the dots, is not only are we ideologically brainwashing boys, boy bashing, that's what they're doing. We're not only doing that, we're not warning boys about the outcomes for them, about what happens when they grow up, when they get married, when they separate, they're going to lose contact with their children. You know, the suicide epidemic, all these things, the outcomes for men and boys are horrific. And yet we have this pervasive ideology, right? This fanatical kind of feminist Taliban, woke Taliban, who are in our schools, teaching our kids horrendous stuff. And it is, I couldn't get my head around it. I was so upset. He was upset. Archie, the place we live in, he was walking up the other road to get a pizza the other day, and there was a woman walking in front of him really slowly. And he said, well, I don't know if I'm going too fast. If I go too slow and hang back, will she think I'm stalking me? Yeah, he's in his bloody final year at school, right? And he's got shit being told to him like this by a headmaster, frankly, who has lied and refused to disclose the information and content. Yeah. What, again, it comes down to one thing, parental rights. What are our parental rights? Why don't I have a right to know what my son has been taught? So stand up for boys is the manifestation of that frustration. It's been an issue we've been dealing with, and, you know, the problem with fathers and justice, you know, you get under the bonnet, there's a big bonnet and a lot of stuff going on. But this is a real issue because I think we have a duty of care and responsibility to our children to warn them about the potential outcomes, but to make sure they get a balanced education. And we as parents have a right to know what our children are being taught. So I think Stand Up For Boys is I just want to do something that's going to be, it's going to be high profile because there's going to be protests. We're going to be doing, you know, some of the, I feel so strongly about it. We're going to go back to some of the stuff we used to do, just in a slightly different way. The bad education is the theme, you know, to stop the boy bashing in schools. But we're going to have to take it to the schools. I mean, we're going to have to take it to the schools. You know, this talk of alternative assemblies, you know, You know, somebody said the other day, some naughtily minded person, not myself, I might add, I said, you know, we could good if we get the alternative Christmas assembly. You know, with a load of Father Christmases protesting outside of school and, you know, chalkboards and desks. And, you know, there's a lot of lovely flat roofs on schools, you know, there's all sorts of opportunities. I think when we've discussed issues to do with, you know, the teaching of children in schools, which there are many, many other issues, which, as we know, which are linked to this. You know, we need to start being a bit more, it needs to be a bit more direct action, in my view. I think we need to be a bit more direct and stand up and fight for our kids, because it's unconscionable that we, as parents, sit back and let this happen. I just don't get it. And I'm not going to let it happen to my son, you know, over my dead body. I mean, literally, it's just such a red line. How the school thinks I was going to react. I mean, I've got friends and parents around it going, you're Matt fucking O'Connor, right? What the fuck do they think is going to happen, right? I'm just going, oh, yeah, don't worry, boy. Don't worry. It's okay. I've retired. No, if I had retired, if I had dusted up my super suit and hung out, it's back out of the wardrobe. I warn you, right? It's, yeah, I'm mad as hell. So,
well, keep us posted. I'll be there, Matt, to film you in whatever costume you want to wear. And
you'll be in another. You'll be with you're far more handsome man and slimmer man than my good self. I think you should be in the super suit.
I want to see you dressed up, Matt. So don't you worry. I'll come.
You just want to see me being arrested, which I think is a high probability. If I was dressed like somebody's trying to say, well, dress up as a head teacher, you know. I actually, Archie came up with a classic line. I can't say what it is, because if we did it, would be, you know, it's going to be big news. But, you know, anyway, we've got a lot of ideas, as I'm sure you'll appreciate. So yeah,
good. Well, keep us
coming to a classroom near you. So
good. If you agree with that, if you want to get involved, then we'll keep you posted. And if you like what Matt's talking about parents taking back responsibility and rights and control and not letting the state parent your children, but actually parents taking that mantle once again, then make sure you share this. Make sure and hit that like button, actually, because it's I watch so many videos and actually watch them, don't actually think of clicking that like button, but it does mess up. If you're watching on YouTube, it messes up with their algorithm. So please do that and hit that. Matt, there was one other thing just wanted to touch on just a minute, was on your Twitter feed, and it was about put the father back into Christmas. And it's a very hard-hitting picture that you've got there. All I want for Xmas is my daddy. And obviously at this time, there will be families who are separated. I personally have not experienced that in my extended family, but there will be many, and that's something you deal with. And do you just want to just take a minute or two and talk into that at that time of year? Because not everyone will be playing happy families.
Yeah, it's, you know, Peter, I go back 20 years. And I had, I remember first Christmas I didn't spend with my boys, who were about 4 and 6 around that age. I remember my ex, you know, we went to Sainsbury's and I was going to get him some Christmas bits and pieces, and I wasn't going to see them on Christmas Day or over Christmas, but we're trying to make an effort, and she contrived an argument in a Sainsbury store, and I remember I had to leave, I had to walk out, and I remember just being in tears, and I remember just having the worst Christmas ever, you know, and I was suicidal. I was self-medicating on my old mate Sir Jacob Daniels, and it was just the worst time of my life. So I know that there are so many dads who will not see their kids this Christmas, the heartbreak that they go through, the grandparents who go through double the heartbreak, they go through it themselves and they go through it for their children. And the best gift we can give kids this Christmas is their dads. But unfortunately, we have no rights in law to see our children. It might seem like an extraordinary claim, but that is the position of the government. The government doesn't believe that a legal presumption of contact would be helpful. So you have no right to lawsuit children, only a right to apply to court. There's no such thing as parental equality. And so we are left with this Dickensian abusive so-called family justice system, which operates in complete secrecy with an unelected, unaccountable and unsackable judiciary. And the presumption of the court every single time is that obviously the child shall live with mother. And a lot of mums, and I'm afraid it is, you know, mostly mums, are, you know, for whatever reason, will just refuse access, you know, children access to their fathers. Often as a way of punishing the father for some misdemeanor or something he's supposed to have done wrong, or infidelity or whatever it is. Often because they've got a new partner, and they don't want the father being, he's an inconvenience. You may remember David Blunkett years ago, it was 2004, and Kimberly Quinn airbrushed him out of their son's life, you know. Yep. And, you know, she was an emotional bandit because she took the child. She was a sperm bandit because she took his sperm. You know, she was, you know, she just did an absolute job on him. And that's the case in so many cases that we get. I mean, in the last, I was touching on this earlier when I spoke to you before we started, but, you know, we had, you know, I'd, you know, he had an ex-chief constable the other day, Fruza. So somebody from Interpol, somebody from NATO who was in Afghanistan recently. We had an MP. We had a Royal Protection Officer. Last few weeks, they've just this tsunami of humanity. People from every conceivable background. You know, we get rock stars, we get celebrity chefs, we get roofers, teachers, brickies, everybody you can think of. Everybody who I see, every other person, the DPD delivery driver. And he's going, oh, you're Matt, oh, you're doing great work. And you're on the, you're trying to talk to him quickly and he's got to drive off. And, you know, or the Sky guy or the Ocado, Matt. Yeah, everybody knows somebody. And everybody's always talking to, I can't even go to, you know, I like a little of a guilty pleasure, which is KFC. I went into KFC the other day, the security guy there, oh, you're Matt O'Connor. I said, yeah, okay, we've got chat. He's got problems. I can't even go to a fucking KFC without some. But you want to help. We want to help people. And all we can do is to provide the best advice, which we always give is honest advice. It's not always the advice people want to hear, but they'll get honest advice. They need to know what the costs are involved. They need to know what the processes are involved, the challenges and the likely outcomes, instead of going off and burning, as people do, 5, 10K, 1.2 million the other day, 3.4 was the most we had, which was last year, with an Irish rock star not far from where you hail from. You know, it just, that they're just, the men don't get it. They don't understand it because nobody warns them at school. These are the outcomes. This is what could happen to you. Everything you work for, you could lose. You know, your house, your cash, your kids, gone. And it's a male suicide epidemic. Why? You don't need to be Einstein to put join the dots and understand there is a boys' crisis in this country, there's a men's crisis, and there's a political crisis. And we, you know, God, you know, we just need somebody to put together an opposition in this bloody country to take on this appalling, rotten, corrupt government and so-called democratic system we have. It's just, you know, for me as a father, as a parent, as a citizen, remember, you and me, you know, we've got no representation in our country, no voice in our parliament. We have nothing, nothing. And these people are dictating to us how we live our lives. Unacceptable.
Absolutely. Let's two stories. Let's do 2 minutes on each. This one, Matt, you had mentioned this to me when we were talking earlier. Ministers consider a law for free speech after Sussex ruling over fears that appeal judges have gone too far. So Gomminster's looking, this comes after the appeal court ruled in favour of the Duchess of Sussex. I didn't know she was a Duchess, but anyway, that'd be Meghan. In a privacy dispute against the Mail, legal experts have said the case could have a chilling effect on free speech. So it's interesting that Gomminster only now looking at free speech.
Well, do you know, I I firstly, I'll express an interest that I predicted before they got married, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle got married. We were going to do a protest at the wedding.
Hmm.
And it was only because my mother persuaded me out of it in the best possible reasons that it shouldn't really try and upset somebody's, you know, happiest day of their life. I thought, well, as we say in Kerry, County Kerry, Peter, we've got the three rings of marriage, the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffer ring. And I was worried for Prince Harry. It was hashtag Harry don't marry was the protest, because all the sparkles will be Markles. And we didn't do it. And but I predicted back then, I said, you see what's going to happen. She'll last 5 minutes in the royal family. The royal family is simply a platform for her to, you know, go on to greater publicity and, you know, use it as a stepping stone. And she'd end up back in America, which exactly everything I said would happen. And my fear is that these children are now US citizens, that there'll be a divorce or separation at some point, which there inevitably, in my view, will be. And you know, there's going to be a right old custody battle. But setting that to one side, what this raises is the fact that somebody like Meghan Markle can go to court, can lie in court and say, oh, no, we had nothing to do with this book. And, oh, and then she was suffering from amnesia. And all of a sudden, I'd forgotten to mention this in my the court papers and statements I made, that actually I had been involved in briefing an author of a book that was written about the couple. So that's extraordinary. Secondly, is the way that celebrities want their cake and eat it.
Yep.
So they only want positive stories in the press, right? They want positive. And what they do, because I've had a lot of celebrities try and sue me. So Kate Winslet, our wonderful Katie Price, Kerry Katona, who else is there? There's been a load. Oh, Mylene Klass. And what they do is, if they think that you're going to be saying something negative about them, they'll get what's called a reporting restriction order, which stops you reporting what's happening in their case or with the children. So the case of Mylene Klass, Graham Quinn was the father, and he had no access to his daughters. There was a psychiatric report that said actually the mother might have posed a risk to her kids if she denied the children, the girls, access to their dad. But they went and used Article 8, right to family life, exactly like Meghan Markle, and used that to kill that story off, effectively used it. So anything that's negative, boom. And what the impact of the Meghan Markle judgment this week is, in the appeal court, it is going to have a chilling effect on the ability of the press to report double standards, to report hypocrisy, to report matters of public interest, because these are people who are public figures. If you don't want publicity, right, retire from public life, right, as private individuals, and avoid the glare of publicity. But if you are caught in publicity and using publicity to promote your career, your views, it should be open season, as far as I'm concerned, because we should be allowed to see both sides of the story. We should be allowed to hear both sides of the story. But unfortunately, we've come up against this time and time and time again, where celebrities, they use agents, very powerful agents, will often give a newspaper another story, for example, to keep out another story out of the press. So it really is a main bugbear of mine, the hypocrisy of celebrities. And I think, you know, the laws need to be beefed up to protect a free press, a press where we can debate things even when they don't like it. Tough shit, you know. If you don't like the publicity, you've done like it's been like, don't like the heat, get out of the kitchen. Don't bother.
Yep, exactly. Matt, I think we will bring it to an end there. Either just one piece of bad news for viewers, in case you were out to your Christmas party, and obviously it's amazing how much people listen to the government and to Boris, who they hated before, and now they listen to every single word. And this is the government telling you, don't kiss strangers under the mistletoe because you could get the COVID. So it is a danger. It's a warning. No matter how drunk you get, none of that because you could spread the COVID. So it's a warning from the government.
Yeah, nobody's going to be kissing Theresa, what's her name, Theresa Coffey, under the mistletoe. It would need to be a fucking great branch of mistletoe, bunch of mistletoe, to give her a snog. I mean, I really don't. This is the last was. I can tell you, Peter, I will resolutely, where I live tonight, I'm going in a minute, I'm going to have a few refreshments, and I will kiss as many people as possible going up the high street using my, obviously, no tongues, just a gentle peck, but you know, if some of the ladies later, they might strike it lucky. I'm going to embrace Christmas fully. I'm in my black sort of tartan, black watch tartan jacket. I'm ready for action tonight. I'm pumped up.
Let me just two very short, one of Boris and another one, just two short videos. This is just to play us out. This is in Australia. And shock horror, people are sabotaging QR codes. So just watch this, just as a warning. Shock horror, how can such a thing happen? So here's this little clip.
Anti-vaxxers are to blame for a QR code scam in Blackwood. Fake QR codes were placed over genuine COVID-safe check-ins on Friday, and once scanned, it's understood it led people to a website with information against vaccinations. Blackwood Podiatry and Tasty Meat Rolls were among those caught up in the scheme. Police are reassuring the community no personal information was disclosed.
Pure Tasty Meat Rolls. Oh, dear.
I love it. I love it. But see, that's good. That's good subversion. That's great subversion. I love that. It's great. Very funny.
It is. And the last one is Boris. Just getting, when I watched this, I felt this was a video you'd see at the end of Have I Got News For You?
Yeah.
So as a finisher, let me bring Boris up. This is Boris getting his jab.
Oh dear! So
he
does look like a Christmas turkey, a very ill, sick, anemic-looking Christmas turkey. I don't think either Bernard Matthews would stick him on the plate. But next year we've got an opportunity. We're going to have to stuff Boris. Don't let him stuff us. Right? Remember give him a kick in the baubles. That's my recommendation to everybody, really. Yeah.
Sounds like a good campaign, Matt. Absolutely. So just finish off for the reviewers. You can get Matt, of course, on the website, Fires for Justice, and on the correct Twitter handle, which I'm mortified that I put the wrong one up, Fathers for J Official. So do go. It's all in the description. So do go and use that and use the website and use the Twitter and the Twitter. This is Saturday. Whether you've been watching, whether you've been listening on podcasts, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for liking. Thank you for joining us each week on the news reviews. And on Monday, we've got Lutz Bachmann, as I said, from Germany, looking at what's happening in Germany. I think today they announced compulsory COVID vaccinations from, I don't know whether it's February, Austria's 1st of February. So tune in to hear Lutz talk about what's happening in Germany, and his concerns are obviously how it could spread wider and wider. So I think on that, and if you haven't got our weekly emails because you haven't subscribed, go to heartsofoak.org, click on that Connect tab, stick in your email, and you'll get our weekly email giving you updates on what is upcoming. So I think on that, Matt, thank you for joining us, as always.
Peter, as ever, been a pleasure, and I promise it won't be such a long gap next time. We've got to keep this little our little relationship alive, the flame alive.
I agree. And, I've missed you, Matt.
I missed you too, Peter. God bless you.
So, viewers, have a wonderful rest of your evening, wonderful rest of your weekend, and we'll see you on Monday with Lutz. So, thank you so much, and good evening.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.